Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to talk with our green and gold analyst, Paul Emmett, coming up here momentarily. But word getting out during the break, the Cleveland Browns, figuring what the hell, they have signed Kareem Hunt. They signed Kareem Hunt. Now, a source close to the Browns says that the discipline process is still ongoing and nowhere near done, and it could be a while before the Browns actually know how many games Kareem Hunt is going to miss via suspension from the NFL. But Cleveland, and remember, there was some talk that he could possibly end up with Matt Nagy down in Chicago, but Cleveland figuring, we want to win. And, you know, there's this whole, the Browns believe that everybody deserves a second chance and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But the video of Kareem Hunt, you know, punching and kicking a woman made its way around. And much like the Ray Rice video, I mean, he has become the scourge of the earth. But the Cleveland Browns feel that they can withstand all the PR loss if they can put butts back in the seats via wins. So they have signed Kareem Hunt, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, as a running back, their next running back in Cleveland. How about that? That's breaking news. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our green and gold analyst now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Paul, as Andrew Brandt tweeted out a little while ago, he said it's talent versus tolerance. The more talent you have, the more tolerant people will be of you. And what do you think of the Browns sticking their necks out and signing Kareem Hunt?
Well, a couple things. Number one, do you know who drafted Kareem Hunt originally, Bill?
That was John Dorsey.
And now who picked him up now?
That would be John Dorsey.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's a guy in John Dorsey who knows that, who believes that he knows the guy, you knows the person, as Kareem Hunt better than any of us do. So, I mean, you saw there's certainly a lot of, like Reuben Foster went to Washington this past year after he was released by San Francisco. This is, when these teams make these decisions, they obviously have a PR plan that goes with it. And it's certainly, a calculated decision that goes beyond just football. So I certainly don't know enough about the situation and anything else to, try to act informed on it. But I do find it fascinating that that it's John Dorsey, the guy who originally drafted him, as being the guy who now with Cleveland is the guy to kind of bring him back into the NFL fold. So, I'm sure you saw this. It's the Browns have already, they are, it's not like a report or speculation. It is official. And I did see that the signing came with a statement from Kareem Hunt. So, they're already seemingly trying to get out ahead of
right,
the non-football aspects of this. So, yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know where that situation would end up, but, here we are on February 11th that he's signed by Cleveland.
Yeah, John Dorsey saying, my relationship and interaction with Kareem since 2016 was important to a part of this decision-making process. But then it goes on to talk about how they did their due diligence with many individuals, including the professionals and clinics and such, to have a better understanding as to who he is and what he has going on. So, but clearly, this is a guy John Dorsey coveted. He drafted him, and now he said, hey, I want him again. They also said that they believe in second chances. Now, I think we're a community full of second chances. We're a society full of second chances. But when you see the video, a lot believe you don't deserve a second chance, that you should not to ever work again. You can go dig ditches anywhere you want to go, but to be in the NFL, that is a privilege and an honor. And once you pass that up by punching a woman or kicking a woman, you kind of lose that right. So now we'll see what he does with this opportunity with Cleveland, because this is clearly his last chance. Meanwhile, in Green Bay, all is quiet. The only thing that's kind of come out is last year they picked up the offensive lineman Cole Madison, and they really believed that he looked good, that in the OTAs, the workouts, all that kind of stuff, that he was going to be a guy that was going to add quality depth and could possibly be a starter one day. And as Michael Cohen wrote in The Athletic, it doesn't look like he's coming back, and if he does, it's not going to be anytime soon. So as much as I hate to equate a mental health and a life situation, when it comes to the draft, it appears that that pick now becomes a draft bust.
Yeah, such a sad situation on so many levels, with, you know, his friend and quarterback in college, you know, and then the effect that that obviously had on Cole Madison. If memory serves, Bill, Cole Madison did do his press conference via phone with the Green Bay media immediately following being drafted. So it was obviously something that was, you know, stirring around in his mind. And, you know, these guys, these GMs and everything, they obviously do such incredibly detailed due diligence when it comes to deciding, you know, whether to draft a player or not. And presumably the conversations that they had with him wouldn't have led Brian Gutekunst to assume anything other than that this is a guy who would report to camp and would obviously play for them. But when you have, you know, circumstances such as this surrounding a guy that was, you know, his quarterback, his friend, his teammate, it's obviously a completely unpredictable situation. And, you know, I think at this point, if you're Brian Gutekunst in the front office, you have to assume, and I'm sure they knew this long, you know, months and months and months ago before Michael Cohen had the report on it, that they aren't going to assume him to be part of their team going forward. Fifth round pick, obviously it would have addressed their guard depth. And I'm sure that's, you know, when Byron Bell starts coming to the equation and you start having other guys, veterans who you might think can play that position, I'm sure, you know, the Packers have had really good mid-round draft success with guards. Josh Sitton was a fourth rounder, TJ Lang a fourth rounder, Corey Lindsley at center was a fifth rounder, JC Treader was a fourth rounder, I believe, if memory serves. He was in that same draft in the fourth round as Bakhtiari. So, I mean, Cole Madison, clearly a guy that they valued, and then, you know, just terrible life things have, you know, certainly interfered with his plan to play in the NFL, and I'm sure that you're going to see, in terms of offensive line depth, the Packers approach this draft and this offseason as assuming that to be a position of depth that they need to fill, you know, without Madison being part of that plan.
So, look, it's a wasted draft choice. I understand it. It's something that I don't think we were really counting on. I think there was some hope that maybe he could come back and give you depth, but being out of the league for a year and dealing with, you know, the whatever is ailing his soul, I guess, is probably the priority. So you move on. And now you start to look, as we start to get more towards the draft, I'm reading more and more and more about how defensive heavy it's going to be. It leads me to believe that in free agency, you're going to probably go after a tackle, maybe a guard, and you're going to try to fortify a couple of things with a pass rush. Beyond that, this draft should fortify at least a portion of what it is you're ailing for right now when it comes to the defense, but it's also going to leave your defense, again, young and learning. And how much time do you have to get a defense that's going to be capable of being in the top 10 and supporting the offense?
Right. It's the year after year after year after year question, pretty much ever since 2010, when the Packers defense was first in the league in sacks, if memory serves, and obviously had a really big part in that team winning the Super Bowl that year, even with all of the IR guys that they had, you know, coming up. And then you talk about an offseason where you're probably planning on losing Clay Matthews, you know, a 30-year-old guy who's obviously a veteran in the league, and maybe you're going to part ways with Nick Perry and kind of pay him some money to go away. There you lose some more veteran stuff. I assume that they're going to have Tremont Williams come back and play out the second year of his deal, but I don't think that's a guarantee. you are once again, yeah, to that point, planning on going in and having an even younger defense than you did in 2018. So I do agree, though, Bill, as you do start to prep for this draft, and you know that the front office and coaching staff have been busy and busy up in Green Bay trying to plan for this draft, I think you look at the offensive side and you say they need to add offensive line depth. I think you could argue that if there's the right running back available in the second, third, fourth round, that you might go that route. Tight end is a position that, you know, they keep churning through older players. Jared Cook was in his late 20s when he signed. Bennett was obviously, what, seventh year in the league when he signed. And Jimmy Graham is in his, what, ninth or tenth year now in the NFL. At some point, you're going to have to invest in the tight end position and find what you hope to be your next guy. And that's been a struggle. They haven't been able to really – they haven't really ever replaced JerMichael Finley. You know, they've tried various routes and free agency 3 years in a row. So maybe you see tight end. But other than that, Bill, it's going to be defense, and more defense. You need to address safety. You need to add more young depth at corner. You need to add more pass rushing help. I think everybody at this point would say if all things were equal come draft night in the first round and you have the 12th pick and you're deciding between three or four players and one of those players that you have equally graded is an edge rusher, I think there would be an uproar from Packers fans if the Packers did not, in fact, draft an edge rusher with that number 12th overall pick. So it is, and just, I think even – kind of like last year's draft when they took Alexander in the first round and then, you know, Jackson is sitting there in the second round. They were so starved at corner and arguably still are that, you know, you might have to do multiple edge rushers and multiple high-level defensive players with, you know, just let's say you go edge rusher with pick 20 or with pick 12 and then the 30th pick comes up, the one that they grabbed from the New Orleans Saints in last year's draft. You might have to finish the first round with two edge rushers, and that's how depleted they are because, you know, again, I would argue for cutting Nick Perry, Bill. I really would. Even though you have to pay him like $10 million just to go away, you would still clear up money in the meantime. So you might be looking at a Nick Perry-less, Clay Matthews-less, Kyler Fackrell-led edge rushing group. And, you know, Fackrell certainly went from being sort of a joke, an afterthought, a bust a year ago. He's, you know, 10.5 sacks in 2018, and they weren't like, you know, they weren't like lucky sacks, most of them. A lot of them were, especially midway through the year, where he was really showing that he was going to be a good player. That's not enough to say, okay, we don't need to address that position. So it's yet another offseason where we're going to be talking about, you know, let's say they finish with 9 draft picks, where 7 of those 9 might be defense, and even then you still might be looking at holes on the defensive side of the ball. So it's seemingly the never-ending question of how to address that side of the ball.
Good stuff as always, Paul. We will chat again soon, we promise, okay?
All right, Bill. Sounds good. See you,
all right,
man.
Buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.